Welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast with your host, Andy Addis, and special guest, Mark Clifton.
We plant the seeds in the ground, though the fields have long been brown. But Lord, when will your harvest come in? I'm giving all I've got to give in the place where I've been sent. But will my labor make much difference in the end? Will no one ever know? Sometimes I feel so all alone. Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope. To that church on the corner of that forgotten little town, to a room of empty pews where his love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you sow, but it just takes one willing soul to make him know.
Big thank you to Chosen Road for that incredible intro music. And it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to drop a podcast because schedules have been crazy. But I am back in studio today with our special guest, Mr.
Hey, I'm Mark Clifton, and I'm in the kitchen today.
I was waiting to hear where you were from.
I was supposed to get some dishes done last night, and I forgot. So I'm in the kitchen today. But I'm going to take a few minutes with dishpan hands and stop and do this.
Oh, goodness. It is so much.
Good?
It sounds great. I'm so glad to have you, Mark. Mark is the Senior Director of Replanting and Rural Strategies for the North American Mission Board, as well as you're on, I think, half the podcasts in America right now. I think you are. So we are so blessed to have you. Right
and I'm doing dishes this morning.
And doing dishes. That's right. Plus, I just want to do this real quick. We just heard that great intro music from Chosen Road, and you are the pastor of a rural church that just hosted them. Tell us about the event. It was just exciting to see some of the social media stuff.
Yeah, I know. The guys at my church say that Clifton has two ways of doing events, over the top and way over the top. So that's... or expensive and really expensive. That's another way.
No, it sounds good. But there was a specific, you had a music festival in downtown Linwood.
We called it the Linwood Arts and Music Festival. And, you know, a town of 350 people having an arts festival is like, that's the challenge. But we did. We actually, I shouldn't say that. We brought in a huge, big music stage, one of those like you see at the county fairs, or state fairs. We brought in a big music stage. They closed down Main Street. We had four really top-notch music groups, really good. And then we just, for about 2 months, put in all kinds of social media and Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. If you're a vendor, come on down. And, I mean, we had Main Street on both sides of Main Street filled with vendors selling everything. Well, this guy had a 3D printer. Mm. He sold over $200 worth of stuff from his 3D printer. It was really cool. And we had a bunch of artists that had paintings, had a bunch of ladies that had made some stuff, had stuff. We had a bunch of homemade cards, gift cards, and I mean, just people and jewelry. People came, and these were all local people, maybe not right from Linwood, but from the county. And it was really neat to see that. We had food trucks that ran out of food. We set up pickleball courts on the side streets. They let us close down the streets in Linwood. There's only four streets, so they let us close down the streets in Linwood. And we marked off a pickleball court, and you can go to like a sporting goods store now and buy a pickleball set. There was never a time that people weren't playing pickleball. It was the craziest thing you've ever seen. We had a great time and met hundreds of people. We had a prayer tent set up. People could come by and we could pray with them, and had a lot of conversations there. I don't know. We had the bounce houses and all kinds of stuff. It was fun.
I just love it.
Oh, and then Chosen Road was there. And they were there. And not only that, there's about four or five kids in the city of Linwood that play a string instrument. A couple of them play cellos. A couple of them play guitars. These are great school age kids. And so working with the local school there, the music teacher, We arranged to have those kids come to the community center, and Chosen Road did a wonderful workshop for string instruments for these four kids. So we had, well, Chosen Road and even some of the other musicians that were there. So it was really cool to see those kids learning from some of the best. So it's pretty neat.
Mark,
it was a great day.
The reason I wanted to share that so much was because that's not the topic for today, but what you guys did there is doable as a small church, but it is of massive impact. It is value added to a community. Why did a city shut down all of its streets so that you could do that? Well, you brought in business and you took care of school kids, and you just added to the energy of the community. And I think that's such a huge thing for church.
There's one, shall we say, establishment in town on Main Street. They sell food and libations. What do you call it? Libations?
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, libations. They sell food and drink, if you know what I'm saying. but he pulled out his smoker on Main Street, and in 2 hours, he sold out of all the food he had in his whole place.
That's awesome.
I know. And he was ecstatic that we came to town and he sold out. And, you know, I thought with bringing in the food trucks, you know, it might be like competition, you know, for him and whatever. It didn't matter. He sold out.
Sold out.
He was out of food.
Well, I just love that for two reasons. One, to talk about, you know, a small church doing value added things for the community, because that, you know, there are a lot of people that just don't value the church. But when the church adds value to the community, then they have to see value in the church. And then you get to share the gospel. But the other is, you know, our theme song from Chosen Road. Those guys just have such a great heart. To hear what they did with those kiddos was just top notch.
It was great.
All right. Speaking of value,
we ought to do a podcast, but make sure we do a podcast. Put this down.
Okay.
How you finance a situation like that?
Yeah, raising funds for special events.
Yes, it's not easy, and I mean, if you think it is, but here's the deal, Andy. It can be done.
It can be done.
All right. Mm-hmm. Our stage was the First State Bank stage, and we had their band up there. You can do it. It's not easy, but it can be done. Yeah, all right.
It's about those partnerships. No, I'm the one who opened the door. I thought that was such a great event. We needed a little bit of a recap is always encouraging, because it stokes the fires and gives us some drive as well. Anyway, welcome to the Rural Pastor Podcast. Again, you've heard Mark. My name is Andy, and I'm the volunteer rural strategist for the North American Mission Board Replant Team. I'm also the lead vision and teaching pastor for a rural multi-site network of churches. And this podcast wants to pour into, partner with, and pat on the back the rural pastor, because what you do is important. We just want you to know that you're not alone. Now, one of the resources we talked about for a long time, between the last podcast and this one, it is out. It's on the website. It is the Doing More Together ebook. There will be a print version available this fall, but you want the free version, right? You can just download this. It is, yes, it's the story of our church, but as a matter of fact, it's basically a script for the last 8 podcasts in the next 4. There's a section in there that we're covering in verbal format here. Plus, it's access to the resources of replanthub.com. Super easy to get a hold of, and hopefully super encouraging. I like to think of it as, yes, it's our story, but if you read it, it's everybody's story. We have the same struggles. Every church has the same struggles, and how do we get through that? It's called Doing More Together. You can download that at the Rural Pastor Podcast. I'm sure it's one of your up-and-coming favorites, isn't it, Mark?
I'm waiting for the movie, actually. So,
oh goodness. Okay,
so series. Nobody does a movie anymore. I'll binge watch it.
You'll binge on PureFlix. That's what you'll do.
On PureFlix. There is a PureFlix.
There
so
is.
Be careful.
There is. I just want to make sure that we're not promoting the wrong stuff. Anyway, today's principle that we want to talk about is very specific to, in the Doing More Together book, what we experienced as a church. So this may not be a principle that applies to everybody. So as we always say on this podcast, eat the fish, spit out the bones. There's always something good here. But here was one of the principles we learned in the 20 years that it's taken us to grow from a dying neighborhood church to a rural multi-site network, which is that buildings do matter in rurality. Your yes. structures matter. Now, I know there are churches that do ministry, and you go to a conference and you hear you just need to be completely portable, and there are places where that is appropriate and needed, and that's the only way to do it because of cost. But what we're getting at here is that there is a segment in the rural community. There is a segment of rural work where buildings are so important. First of all, having one, and then second of all, how you take care of that building. So let me just ask you just an intro question here. Have you ever had one of those work days at a church facility that just caused you to stand around and scratch your head? You know what I'm talking about?
Every work day causes you to stand around. Because it's like something happens in a church building. You can clean the whole thing out and you think, wow, now we've got space. And then you have another work day in about 6 months and you got more stuff in there than you had before. You know, you go, where does all this stuff come from? You know, the best way to clean out a church, Andy, is with a pickup by yourself at 1 a.m.
And when nobody's watching. Well, if you did some hallway scrubbing and some closet digging around any of our campuses, here's some things you'd find. You'd find a jacuzzi that was our first baptistry that we still keep around in case small locations need that on the down low. You'd find old VBS materials in boxes that we keep saying, don't you love this? You keep thinking somebody's going to use this, or maybe that'll come back around. We'll do it again.
That's right.
And my favorite is when I was in living in a parsonage when I was a seminary student and pastoring in Fort Worth. I remember the day we were actually on a work day and they decided that the playground equipment was so bad it had to be torn down and just gotten rid of. And so you know what their solution was? Let's move it to the parsonage for the pastor's kids. It's so bad. It's so bad we can't have it here, but let's just move it over there. It'll be really good in the backyard of the pastor's house.
That's great. Yes.
How about you? Any building or facilities, nightmares or fun stories?
It's a podcast, so I got to be careful. I can't say it publicly. So anyway, no.
Okay.
No. Yeah, we had. When I first went to a church, there was a statue that someone had purchased that was it would have been appropriate at Christ the King Catholic Church down the street from us, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But it was at our door as you walked in. And I questioned it, and they said, well, the person who gave that some time ago has passed away, but we like it because it reminds us of them. And then, one Sunday we got up there, and it was gone, Andy. It just disappeared.
Miraculous.
And so when they asked what happened, I said, you know, I bet you somebody came up this night, some night, and probably just put that thing in their truck and drove off. That's what I'm thinking happened. And they said, well, that's awful. And I said, well, that's probably what happened. So that's what I said.
It was, and you were driving a truck those days, weren't you?
It was. It looked real nice down there. Christ the King. It fit in a lot better down there, down the street.
My goodness. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is public confession.
It is. So.
Well, we all have.
They probably thought it was pretty amazing that something like that just showed up, right?
That's right. Anyway, that's another story. A miracle on the other side. One church decleaning is another church's blessing. That's the way that works.
That is a true story, by the way.
We all have building nightmare stories, and I think one of the things that I want to get at with this point is that we need to be thankful that we have buildings. Now, the care for them, the stewardship of them, that's another issue. But I want to start with, do buildings matter? And I think that there are robust ministries. There's whole church models that are built on the transitional and being fleet of foot, not having a real estate footprint. And that's good. But I think in rurality that there is something that we have to think about. And let me give you the story. And Mark, I'd love you just to feedback on this story when you hear this. One of our locations, you know, we have 14 places that we call Crosspoint. One of them, has been around for more than a decade. And when it started, I remember meeting at the Pizza Hut across from the Holiday Inn there on the highway and knowing that the Holiday Inn is where we're going to be. And we could not even go look at it because it was being used. It was happy hour for some business that was renting it in that moment. But we existed there for a while and started to grow. And our location pastor there, Matthew, he said, man, we've got to get more of a presence. So we moved to the movie theater. Now, the movie theater was great because they had the best screen in our entire network, and the owner of the theater let us use the popcorn machine on Sundays. That was fantastic, but there was no children's facilities, and so we still needed to keep moving, and then we found a storefront, and we were thankful to rent it from another church that wasn't using it, and it helped us. And most recently, in the last year or two, we have finally bought an old school and have renovated it and are in the school. And the driving force behind all this, and here's the statement, was that our pastor there on the ground kept hearing, yeah, we hear good things about you guys, but we're going to check you out once you have a building. For years he heard, we're going to check you out once you have a building. And if I could distill it down, he got a variety of answers, but if I could just put it in one capsule, here's what we heard. Well, until you have a building, you might be a cult. And that was really the mindset of the community. And right or wrong, indifferent, that was what we were dealing with in the culture. So have you ever run into anything like that, or can you see that being a reality?
It is a huge reality. And first of all, let's say absolutely, it is an absolute reality in rural America. No two ways about it. I mean, it just is. It's a reality across most of America, Andy. I've pastored in urban settings and all kinds of metro settings. People say, well, you know, the church isn't a building. I know the church isn't a building, that's but right. Culturally, you have to be aware of your culture. If you drop, you know, if you and I were to drop down into Madagascar tomorrow and say plant a church, we'd have to figure out what the culture was like.
That's right.
The culture in North America, it connects a church with a building. Now, it doesn't mean the church is a building. It doesn't mean you can't have church without a building. But there is an assumption that if you have a building, you have social validation. If you don't have a building, you've got to work really hard to have social validation. And so the building sort of gives you an immediate footprint in the community, an immediate social validation, all of that. That's why in replanting, it's so great for church plants to adopt and take an older church building, because it gives them a presence in the community that building may predate. At Linwood, the building was in that on that corner in 1911. Now it's burned down a half dozen times, but they keep rebuilding it. But nonetheless, that church has been there since 1911. All right. So when we say we're going to have an event in downtown Linwood, man, we've been there 110 years. You know, we have some social validation to do something like that. If I just showed up in Linwood and was meeting with a group of people in my home and I'd only been there a few weeks, I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but there would be a lot more resistance to something like that. So I think, yes, I think in our North American culture, and I'll give you a really good example. When I went to, and I mean North America, I mean Canada too. I planted churches in Canada. So I'm in Montreal and we're planting a church and we started in our home. Okay. And so it grows pretty well. God really blessed us. And so it filled up our home. And so we were looking for a place to meet. So what do? Well, you go to the schools, right? So I went to the school in Montreal and I talked to the principal, and I'll never forget this. It was French, right? But he spoke English. But I went in there and I explained to him that we had a church and we needed to rent the part of the school for our church. And it was this, I had a young man with me and he still talks about this. It was this, The principal said, yes, we would rent to your church. Where is your church? And I said, well, in my home. He said, no, where is your building? I said, we don't have a building. He said, well, then you're not a church.
That's it.
I said, no, we are a church. We need a building. Yes, we'll rent you. What do you need our building for? I said, to meet. He said, all right, so where is your church? In other words,
who's on first?
He's mine. Yes, who's on first? We could rent his school if we had a building, because that meant we were a church.
Yeah.
We could not rent his school if we didn't have a building, because we were a cult and not a church. That's an exact communication I had with the principal in Montreal.
So let's draw a theological line, because what you said before is true and what you're saying there is true. The church is not a building. The church is the people. The gathering of the saints is the church. Yeah. But culturally, We are not understood. We're not here to reach the saved. We're here to go after the lost. And because the lost, there is credibility. When we talked about value added earlier, there is credibility in having a sign that is attached to a building 24/7, 365 in rurality. Yeah. Now, because of that, the reason that we even bring this up as an issue is I want to untie the hands of some rural pastor leaders. Because you've gone to a conference, again, eat the fish, spit out the bones, and you heard about this church in the middle of downtown New York that's killing it, and they've been mobile and coming out of a trailer for the last 27 years, and they're running 3 million people, and the guy that pulls the stuff off the trailer, you know, found Jesus after, you know, one of the children's department buggies ran over his foot, and it's all about the mobile ministry. That's really good, we're not negating that. What we're saying is that if you're in rural America, and part of exegeting your community is the fact that you are not seen as legitimate until you have some kind of building, it's not negating the theology. It is being a good missionary to your community to just understand it's okay to not to have a longing to be out of the high school and in a facility. It's okay to not be setting up and tearing down every weekend. It's not that you're lazy or that you're squandering resources. It's that that's what's needed in that kind of community.
And in most rural communities, especially the ones like I'm in Linwood that are really just struggling, you know, sometimes you're in a Walmart community. And, you know, there are some businesses, there's some restaurants and things like that. But a lot of our communities, Andy, are really struggling. They've lost all the mom and pop businesses. There's really maybe nothing much downtown at all. Mm. If you have a building and you start fixing that building up and you start making improvements on that building and you fix up the outside and you do some landscaping and you put up a new sign, all of a sudden you bring a sense of community pride to that community. And that's what we've done at Linwood.
Value.
We've really fixed up the outside of our building. We paved our parking lot. Our sidewalk was all busted up. And so we redid the sidewalk in front of our church, but our men were so gracious. They went ahead and took it on down the street past some other people's houses. So we repaired the sidewalk. And so immediately people in town, they go, maybe this town isn't dead. You know, look, this thing's coming back, and this building looks really nice. Here's a building in town that looks really nice. And we had a appreciation dinner for all the volunteer firemen and their wives and all the city workers, all four of them, and their spouses, and for the city council and their spouses, all right? And so we had it in our building, and they were just amazed at this building. Look, and, you know, we all know that, as you've said so many times, excellence is relative, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It's a good looking building. It if it were in, you know, the suburbs of Kansas City, it wouldn't blow anybody away. You'd go, oh, it's all right. But when you're in a town like Linwood and they walk into it, it's like, wow, this is really cool looking.
That's it.
And
oh,
so
nail
the
on
city
the head.
Was really impressed that there was a building that nice in their town. So it just helps elevate their opinion of their community when you take care of your building.
That's the value added piece. Now let's conclude our conversation here with, I want to reference something, and it's got 3 points. And that means, even though it's from Anglican.org, I know that's a little outside of our camp right here, but it's got 3 points. So it's almost Baptist. So here we go. It talks about the fact that we know that churches didn't actually have their own buildings for at least a couple hundred years of the faith. And when they started to, in the Middle Ages, churches were used for a variety of things. Courtrooms, schools, libraries, hosted meetings, elections, debates, plays, festivals. The churches were actually community centers. And it's only been recently that we've turned them into just church buildings. So especially in small towns, if we could somehow take care of buildings in such a way that they are value added to the community, it's another doorway to reaching a part of the city that you're in, the township that you're in, the county that you're in, without doing anything other than maintaining your property. So here are the 3 things that they recommend in this. Your building should represent the gathered church well, meaning that you take good care of it, should look good. Second, it should submit to the mission of the church and never become the mission of the church. You don't want the building or the facilities to drive what you do, but they need to support what you do. And third, It should serve the community sacrificially. So your building is not for you. Your building is used by you for the community that you're in. So let's just go through these one by one. First of all, you a building that you have should represent the gathered church well. And you've already spoken to this. You said that that adds value, that people in the whole community, whether they go to that church or not, are inspired when the building is taken well care of in a small town.
The building and the grounds. And look, especially in a small town, take advantage of the fact that you live in a small town and you don't have the abundance of regulations you have in a larger city. Nobody, I don't know of a small town in North America where they're going to tell you you can't put up a temporary banner. I know a lot of cities that will tell you you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So put up for $100 or whatever, put up some temporary banners from time to time that say, you know, at the beginning of the school, we love our teachers. We pray for our students at such and such school. So that looks like every few months something different's going on there. There's activity there. There's something new happening there. Anytime we put up a banner, people notice it in it. I mean, in a town of 400 people, you put up a banner, everybody's going to read it.
You get 100% readership.
Yeah. In a city of a million, nobody, it's going to be hard. So play to your strength. So clean up your building, make sure it looks nice, make sure your yard looks nice, and then put a banner up about something. It doesn't have to be an upcoming event. It could just be that we're praying for our school teacher. We're praying for our first responders. Mm. You know, just those kinds of things.
And this is our part of the story here too, that we don't just build buildings, but in our network, we often reclaim buildings that were one thing. One of our original locations was in a Big A Auto Parts Center. And then we retrofitted a bowling alley. And we've gone into office space that housed Freddy's Frozen Custard, you know, folks. We've had these. And here's what you get. Your first few weeks, you have a draw that you're never going to get again. People just want to see what you did with the building.
we have an opportunity in Linwood to tear down a building. So we're talking through that. The city needs a really small little building removed off Main Street, and they don't know how to do it. So we're considering how we might help them do that and then clean that up. And who knows? Maybe we'll put a pickleball court there. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great. Okay. So number one, the building should represent the gathered church looking well. Second, it should submit to the mission of the church, never become the mission of the church. And for me, this means even though we're saying buildings and rurality are important, and you should move towards that. I'm not saying you run at that or sprint at that. Never outpunt your coverage. You don't want to get into a debt situation where you have to do services so that you can pay for the building that you're meeting in. To get in that mindset again and again, sometimes that's the tail wagging the dog. So whatever you do, whatever you get into, you heard the story of Concordia. They went from hotel to movie theater to storefront before they purchased. And when they purchased, they actually raised the money for the purchase price before they walked in the door. And I'm not saying you have to do it that way. This is not a Dave Ramsey episode or anything, but what I'm saying is don't outpunt your coverage where then the building starts driving what you do. It has to be the other way around.
And don't try to make your building your moneymaker. In other words, don't say if we fix this thing up, then we can rent it out to these other people and we can make money on it.
That's right.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, yeah.
Or create an idol out of it. I don't know if I've shared this story here before, but the only other church I pastored in Texas, one time we changed the lights in the foyer, and it's because it wasn't that the lights were out, the wiring was out. There were these old chandeliers, and we did not have enough money to put chandeliers in. So we just put up nice fluorescent lighting. We painted it look super sharp, and that next Sunday I got hit in the chest with a Scofield Bible by a little old woman who called me the abomination of the desolation for taking down those chandeliers. All I can remember was, I don't think you're using that verse right. I just... But that's when
it's a pretty powerful phrase. I like that. That's pretty.
But that's when the building's in the wrong spot.
Yes, I agree. Totally.
And the third one, and serve the community sacrificially. In other words, once you have this building, you've taken care of it, it's submitting to the mission of the church. Now use that building and open the doors to schools, to community events, what if this group or that group comes in and we don't agree 100% with them? Man, you just threw an event and, you know, helped a bar get its profit loss ratio above that.
Let's be careful how we said that. I want to be real cautious about that.
Yeah, I know that was serendipitous.
Any business in our community since it was on Main Street, was open. And so they had the opportunity to share in that. It was not our particular desire to do that, but that's what happened.
Can I just tell you that
every business in town, it benefited. There's one gas station in town. It benefited.
That's right.
It was very busy all day. There was one place you could buy food. It benefited. So we brought real benefit. But, you know, one of the things you can do in a small town, this is really important. Go door to door, hang things on the door. Whenever you hang something on a door, go to Costco, buy a package, buy those prepackaged cookies. So there's something hanging in there. They'll, you know, you give them some food, but get some prepackaged cookies, put a little note in the door and say, hey, you know, our church has a kitchen and a fellowship hall that can seat 30, 40, 50 people. If you need a place to have a birthday party, a family reunion, if you've got some people coming out of town, you want to have a dinner. Hey, you know, if our church is available, you can use it for free. Now, as soon as I say that, you know, some people's heads explode, especially kitchen committee people. But I found that to be really helpful. Now, obviously, you know, you don't drink and you don't smoke in there, and maybe you don't even dance in there. But, you know, you have some rules, obviously.
Sure.
And obviously somebody from your church has to be there the whole time. But what's wrong with that? Having one of your church members hang out there while somebody has a family gathering. Say, well, you know, what if they members of another church? That's okay. Again, you're doing what Christians should do, is being generous with what God's given you. And there's a lot of times in a small town, there's no place to have a meal for 30 people. You got to go to the next town over if you're going to do that. And, you know, certainly funeral meals, but that often does happen. But just all kinds of celebration and meals and birthday parties and grandma and grandpa's, you know, 60th anniversary. Man, you can use our church building. We'd love to have you do it.
Man, graduation events for single parent and baby showers for unwed moms. Yes. What great ways to minister. Yeah.
Yes. And even if they don't use your building, if you do that, if you go door to door a couple times a year and let people know that, they know they could use your building.
That's right.
And that changes their opinion of your church.
All right. Well, it's a different discussion. And again, collectively and culturally, wherever you are, you need to decide what applies to you. But in rurality, the argument is that there are very often times that your building does matter. Having a building matters. For you to do effective missions. But once you have it, again, thanks to Anglican.org for these 3 points, represent that building should represent the gathered church well, should submit to the mission of the church, not become the mission, and should serve the community sacrificially. I hope this has been encouraging to you all. And if you're currently carting stuff in and out of a high school, God bless you. We've all been there before as you're using that mobile ministry. And if you're in a storefront and you think that those are humble beginnings, well, they are, but that's exactly where God is using you to impact that community. Just know this, keep moving forward, keep doing everything that the Lord has for you. And remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are the building. The building that you use is just what you're using to represent the work God's called you to. Many blessings to you. I want to say thank you so much for joining us. We are ecstatic that you're a part of this. Please share this, comment on this, and become a part of the community. We'd love to grow at the ruralpastorpodcast.com.
Like the prophet Jeremiah, you may be the one to go to the dying and the broken with a message of hope, to that church on the corner, that forgotten little town, to a room of empty pews where His love can still be found. You may never know of all the seeds you've sown, but it just takes one willing soul to make Him known.
Thank you so much for joining us at the ruralpastorpodcast.com. A special thanks to Chosen Road for this incredible theme music, to 180 Digital, our corporate sponsor, and you can check out both of them at our website as well as other resources, because you're not alone. And Rural Pastor, we believe in you at the ruralpastorpodcast.com.